his fidelity to God. In other words, David says, I'm my place to die in my stead. If I the Lord with me, let us exalt.
Say, and not just words empty, but Lord, words that's anointed by your Holy Spirit, that yokes will be destroyed, burdens will be lifted, saints will be restored, and sinners will be saved. I pray that your word goes beyond us through media outlets, through word of mouth. Save your people. We need you. Can't get along without you. Chapter 11, verse 28. Verse 28. Again, it's good to be in the place of God, in the company of his people. Again, we ask God to breathe upon us afresh and give us his word. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, our burden bearer. Jesus, our burden bearer. Jesus, our burden bearer. Jesus paints two pictures in verse 28. One of extreme weariness and the other of extreme pressure. Extreme weariness means you have gone as far as you can go. You can't go any further. You cannot take another step. My brothers and sisters, extreme weariness is when your strength, your power, and your vigor is almost gone. There's no energy. There's no power to do. But then, not only does he deal with extreme weariness, he deals with extreme pressured. To be extremely pressured means that you are about to explode, get angry, burst, blow up. You cannot take it anymore. And my brothers and sisters, as Jesus deals with his people in verse 28, I must admit that all of us, let me say that again, all of us are, we get extremely wearied and extremely pressured. We get to the point that we feel we can't go any further because life is pressurized. Life is weighty. Life is burdensome. Life is difficult. Life is hard. And so Jesus says that all of us, whether you are saved, unsaved, in church, out of the church, we get wearied and we deal with pressure. Now, Jesus don't want us to stay wearied and weighted. He doesn't want us to deal with extremely weariness and extreme pressure. So Jesus, he gives this word so that we can get rid of the weariness and the weight. Notice several things about the text, if you will. First of all, notice the invitation. Jesus gives an invitation. He says, come unto me. Now, let me deal with the me before I deal with come. In reading the text, you know who Jesus is speaking of when he said, come unto me. Now, Jesus invites us to himself. He is not inviting us to some other deity. He's not inviting us to a church. He's not inviting us to religious practices. He's not inviting us to religious education, religious watch parties, religious occupation. He is inviting us to himself. You can come to church, you can attend Sunday school, you can participate in religious practices, you can do religious works and not come to Jesus. He says, come unto me. Me. Jesus speaks. He says, come unto me. So he invites us to come to him. He wants us to come to him because we have a problem. He wants us to come to him because we are wearied. He wants us to come to him because we are burdened. He wants us to come to him and give him all of our life difficulties. He says, come, come, come. Come means to believe or receive. It means to embrace. It means to give yourself to him. It means, or it has the idea of putting your trust and confidence in him. You remember in John chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. In other words, Jesus said, if you come to me, if you receive me, if you believe in me, if you put your trust in me, I will satisfy you. Let me say that again. Jesus says, if you come to me and you believe in me, if you put your trust in me, if you put your confidence in me, I will satisfy you. He says you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to trust. See, coming to church doesn't necessarily mean you believe. Singing God's song doesn't necessarily mean you believe. Doing kind gestures and doing kind deeds and nice deeds doesn't necessarily mean that you believe. So Jesus said, now you come to me. Jesus said, come to him and he will satisfy you. Come unto me. It's an invitation to experience his love and grace. The invitation is, number one, to experience his love. When you are burdened and heavy laden, you need love. Let me say that again. When you are burdened and heavy laden, you need love. When you are burdened and heavy laden, you need the unconditional love of God, the saving love of God, the absolute pure love of God. The Bible says that we need love. That's why in John 3:16, Jesus says, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the absolute pure love of God. He gives us love, but in order for us to receive his love, we have to receive his love through Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. He gave his son so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. And so the son paid the price for our sin because God loves us. It's an invitation to receive the love of God. But not only is it an invitation to receive the love of God, it's an invitation to experience the grace of God. We need grace. Grace is God's unearned, unmerited favor. God doing for us what we don't deserve. Let me say that again. Grace is God's unearned, unmerited favor. God doing for us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be living. We don't deserve to be healthy. We don't deserve to be kept by the Lord. We don't deserve to be blessed. We don't deserve to have a nice place to stay and nice cars to drive. We don't deserve any of it, but God gives us grace. Grace. I'm thankful for grace. God doing for me what I don't deserve. Now, grace is not only God's unearned, unmerited favor, but grace is God's strength made perfect in our weakness. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed about it. And God heard him, but God refused to remove the thorn. He said that I discovered something with the thorn in my flesh that I wouldn't have discovered if God would have removed it. See, some things you go through in life, God deems it necessary because he wants to show you the power of his grace. Some of us would not know God like we know God had we not gone through. Jesus says, come, receive the love, receive the grace of God. Grace. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 5 and 8, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The grace of God is a gift of God, but you can only receive the gift of grace through his son Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, come to receive the love of God, come to receive the grace of God. I like this because he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Now, let me deal with the condition of the come, of the invitation, before I deal with the people whom he has come, or called. Now, he says, there's a condition. He says, come all who are laden or labored and heavy laden. So the condition is for us to acknowledge a need in our life. See, you don't come to God, you don't come to Christ except there is an acknowledged need in your life. You have to know you need him to come. See, life shows us how much we need him. Think about what we're going through right now with the pandemic. We need him. We know we need him. We need him. We know we would not have made it thus far if it wasn't for the grace of God. We know we need him. You can't fight an invisible enemy. You can't fight an enemy that has no arms and legs. You can't fight an enemy that's floating in the air with physical strength and with physical health. We need the Lord to fight the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness. He says, come when you acknowledge the need. That you need me. Come. 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 And he says, what I'll do is satisfy your need. Now, come. Let me give you several illustrations of persons in the Bible who came to realize their need. There was a boy living in his father's house. Got grown real quick, left his father's house with his inheritance, lived it up in the world real good until his inheritance ran out. He found himself in a far country in the world in need and in want. He had nothing, no more inheritance. He had spent it on riotous living, and he found himself low in a hog pen. He had nothing, no friends. Friends walked away. The Bible says while he was feeding the hogs, he thought about eating the husk. He came to himself. But watch the text. Not only did he come to himself, he came to himself and got up. Which means when he acknowledged the pitifulness of his predicament, he didn't stay in his pity and in the pitifulness of his predicament. He got up from where he was and went back to his father. Are y'all in here? I like that because what we see is he got up. There's a condition. It requires effort and energy on your part. You can't just leave this all up to God and this all up to Jesus. Jesus is telling you that you have something to do. You have a role to play. The boy would have still been in his pitiful state if he would have just came to himself. But he got up, went back to his father's house. Not only that, you remember the demoniac in Mark chapter 5 when Jesus came to the coast of the Gadareans. He was living in the tombs, in the graveyard, cutting himself and crying out. And no man could bound him with chains and fetters. But when Jesus came to the coast, the Bible says that he saw Jesus. And not only did he see him, but he got up and went to him. That was effort on his part. If that's not good enough for you, there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She went from doctor to doctor. Drugstore to drugstore. She spent all of her money, but grew worse. Jesus was passing by. There was a crowd of people around Jesus, and for her to press into his presence, she had to literally get down on her knees and crawl between the people in the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Now, if she had not had got on her knees and crawled to Jesus, she would have still had her issue. It requires effort and energy on your part. Oh, like the woman, like the demoniac, like the prodigal, brothers and sisters, we have to come. We have to come. He wants us to do our part. Listen, I just said to one of the brethren that if we have the courage to do, God has the goodness to bless. Let me say that again. If we have the courage to do, he has the goodness to bless. He'll breathe upon it. He'll bless it. When you come, when you come, Jesus says, come. He gives an invitation. And when he offers in the invitation, you can't find it in places and people. I know a whole lot of people that have traveled the world extensively, have traveled all over the world, have traveled Japan, Korea, Africa, Canada, Hawaii, and other countries and other places. They have sailed the seas and the oceans. They have met many people. Often when they return, they say, I thought it would be different, and I thought I was going to get some rest. But this rest that Jesus gives, you can't get it on the cruise. You can't get it in a bar. You can't get it on the dance floor. You can't get it at a circus. You can't find it at a hotel. It's only in Jesus. He says, come, 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 come unto me. Now notice the people. The invitation, you see the people, he says, all you. The word all in the Greek is the word pos, which is translated in our English language as anyone, everyone. In other words, it is an open invitation for everyone. No matter how sinful you are or how often you have rejected Christ, the invitation is extended to everyone. No one is excluded. There's a lot of people who don't come to Jesus because they think this invitation is not for them. They think they are beyond loving and saving. They think that they are too wearied and too burdened. They think that if they come to Jesus, he won't even recognize them. But Jesus gives words of embrace. In the text, he says, come to me, all you. Every one of you who believes in me, who can trust me, come. And I'm here to tell you that you are never too low where God can't reach you. You're never too far reaching that God can't reach you. He reaches the lowest of low. He reaches the farthest any place of earth can afford you to go. He says, all you all come. Doesn't matter what you're in now, what you're guilty of, he can save you. He can relieve you. He can heal you. Now, watch the picture, because Jesus dealing with life as we know life as a believer and unbeliever. Now, the context is Jesus is talking about religious leaders who practice righteousness, their own self-righteousness, but their self-righteousness was burdensome, was weighty. They were putting a whole lot of religiosity, religious maturation on people, weighing people down. To be saved, you got to do this and you got to do that. They made it out to be something other than faith in God. He says, no, let me help you. All of you who are wearied and burdened by the religious teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, come. And I'm going to relieve you of that weight, that yoke that has you wearied and burdened. See, listen. The people are you. He says the condition of the people, you are wearied and laden. In other words, you are burned down with the weight of life, with the weight of hardship. You are weighed down. You feel fatigued because you have the burden of sickness, sin, and sorrow. And he says, whatever it is that has you weighed down, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I'm familiar with your troubles. I'm familiar with your sorrows. I'm familiar with your burdens and your griefs. Isaiah the eagle-eyed prophet tiptoes into the premise of this particular preaching assignment and said, Jesus understands our burdens because he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with our grief. The word acquainted means familiar. Jesus is familiar with what we are experiencing in life. There's nothing we can experience in life that catches him off guard. But that he doesn't know about. He knows about everything we have, we are, and we will ever experience in life. He says, come. I know your struggles. I know your burdens. I know your griefs. You're talking to somebody who can relate to you. And you know that's good news, because when we're going through, Satan would have us to think that we are alone. That what we are experiencing as Christians, we are the only ones. He wants us to be isolated. He wants to sift. He wants to separate us in our way of thinking, so he can separate us from the person of God, the person of Christ. Because he knows as long as we stay around Christ, Christ will strengthen us. Christ will stay us. He will keep us. So he wants to sift through our thinking. Man, what you going through? Sister, what you going through? You the only one. Nobody understands. You have no one. And here it is in the text. Jesus says, wait a minute. Don't listen to Satan. You have me. He says, I know exactly what you're dealing with. He says, I know exactly the depths of it. He says, when you're going through this, don't run from me. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me. Now I understand why when people go through, the first thing they do is abandon the things of God. It's because Satan is busy and he's chattering in their ears. He's speaking into their spirits to say you can't trust God. But here the text says you can trust the Lord because he knows exactly what you are going through. Come to me. All you that are labored and heavy laden. Watch the promise and I'm finished. He says, I will give you rest. Maybe you didn't get it. He says, I will give you rest. Listen, that may not mean much to you because you are not tired of being tired or sick and tired of being tired. But when you get sick and tired of being tired, you need rest. He says, I will give you rest. He didn't say they, he didn't say it. He says, I will give you rest. This rest that he talks about is a rest of refreshment. It's a rest of restoration. Now, to understand this rest that he speaks about, understand that this is not what we get when we fall asleep at night. This is not rest in the physical sense, because when you trace down the word rest in the scripture, in Genesis, when God got through creating and setting everything in order, the Bible says, on the seventh day, he rested. Now, God didn't need sleep. He didn't need to be refreshed because God never tires. But what God did was cease from work because work had been fulfilled. What Jesus is saying here is, I will fulfill you. I will fulfill you. That's what we want. That's what we need. We need to be fulfilled. We want to feel significant, and we want to feel full and fulfilled. He says, I will fulfill you. Everything you need, Jesus said, is in him. It's in him. is in him. He says, you need to be refreshed, it's in me. You need to be fulfilled, it's in me. Jesus says, it's in me. You need to be revived, restored, re-energized. Jesus says, it's in him. And we need it because we get low. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in the church. You get low. And you need to be refreshed. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and the question was, how motivated are you in this season? He says, to be honest, I'm not motivated at all. Need to be refreshed. I says, Lord, thank you for your word, that your word tells us that we can come to you and you will refresh, restore. For some of you in your cars today, this pandemic, the coronavirus, has literally sucked all the life out of you. You are exactly where Jesus said in the text. You are fatigued. You are tired. You have no energy, no excitement. All of your vigor is gone. And you came today to hear Jesus say, if you come to him, he will refresh you. I mean, you're so low, this thing has even messed with your prayer life. Your faith seemingly is wavering. All of your mental energy is about gone. Gotten to the point where you're just about to throw up your hands and say, you know, whatever. However, I can't take it anymore. And Jesus said, come to me and I will restore you. That's the purpose of your coming. That is not accidental, nor is it coincidental that you're here. You're here to be refreshed and to be restored. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. That your word is timely today. You have set us up to bless us, to refresh and to restore us. Thank you for your word that regardless of how low I go, you can reach me. And Father, your invitation is for me to receive your love and your grace. I need you, Christ. I don't need just another religious practice, be a part of another religious group. I just need you to refresh me. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the power of your word. Do it for your people. them find that rest in their homes, on their jobs, in their travel, in their fellowship, in their communion, communing with their family. Help them find the rest in their thinking, in their souls. Assure them today, Father, that they're saved and Satan can do nothing to pluck them out of your salvation. Even when they slip up and mess up, they still saved. Because no one can pluck us out of your hand. Give them that assurance today. We pray as always for your people everywhere. Those that are viewing via virtually, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord today. Bless him today. Bless him today.